Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
This is the Greenbar Sports on a Sunday morning.
Goldschmidt swings and he hits a drive. He hits a slammer.
Greenbar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
Milliken's win.
Now from the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, Tom Ackerman.
Welcome back to the show, Sports on a Sunday Morning on KMOX. We are with you until noon, then I'll jump in for Cardinals pregame. We'll actually just keep it on rolling, Drew. What do you think? 12:20 for pregame. I'll join for a little bit before that, leading you up to the network pregame, 1:15 first pitch. Rain is still kind of hanging around, but seems like we're going to be okay for the start of this game. Always a chance of a thunderstorm popping up. You just heard the forecast from Scott Jagow, so we will keep an eye on that. Well, last night was a fun night at the ballpark. There was a lot going on. The 25th anniversary of the greatest show on turf, the 1999 Super Bowl champion St. Louis Rams were in the house. The Cardinals won the game 6-5 over the Guardians in front of 41,317. And in attendance, throwing out one of the first pitches of the evening, was the Lifetime Achievement Award winner for his contributions to preserving St. Louis's historic architecture and culture. He received that from the Landmarks Association Gala on Friday night. That ceremony was held at La Verona on the Hill, and it was great to see him. It was great to hear him in the booth, and it is great to have him in studio today as we celebrate our friend, Julius Hunter.
Hey,
how you doing, buddy?
I'm fine. How is everybody?
Everybody's doing great. Yep. What was it like last night being back at the ballpark?
Well, you know, I have not spent as much time at the ballpark as I should have over my, 50-some year career in St. Louis. But I always have a ball when I'm there. People are always so friendly. And I was able to have at that ball game last night all my children. My two daughters, my 4 college-age grandchildren, my sons-in-law. I even had the sons-in-law there, and they were in from Pasadena, Los Angeles, Syracuse, Boston, and Concord. They were all here. We had a great time.
I'll bet you did. How did you do out there? You had Jose Fermin catching your first pitch?
I loved it, and I was able to speak to him in Spanish, which I think sort of rocked him as I walked out there. But I think it's going to go down in history that I threw out that pitch and threw out my back at the same time.
Oh, jeez.
So,
Julius, the longtime KMOV news anchor, you know him well from a lot of years, not only on TV, but you are a great friend to KMOX. We shared that building with you. You've told me some great stories about exchanges with Jack Buck. Oh. And Joe Buck down in that garage.
Oh, I got to tell you, Jack Buck and I had a wonderful, crazy relationship. We sort of felt each other out. I mean, we'd either play straight man or the comic each time we saw each other. I think the funniest story with regard to Jack is he and I parked our cars about 2 spots apart in the garage under the building. And one day, it was playoff season. You probably can back time what year it was, but I was running in late to get to Channel 4, and I passed Jack's car, and the window was rolled down, and Jack had his head thrown back, and he was motionless. And so I went running past him, and I thought, suppose this guy has had a stroke or something. Or, you know, I sort of cautiously went back to the car, and I said, Jack, Jack. And he turned his head over, and he was one of those guys that could raise one eyelid and all. I don't know. I've seen that a couple of times. But he raises the one eyelid. He goes, oh, Hunter, how are you? I said, no, how are you? He says, oh, I'm fine. He says, playoffs, you know. I can't get any sleep upstairs at the station. I can't get any sleep over at the ballpark. So I was just taking a little nap here. I said, okay, just so long as you're okay. And I went trotting off, and he goes, Hunter? I said, yeah. He says, get back here. And I went back, yeah. He says, promise me something. Eyes still closed. Promise me something. I said, yeah, anything. He says, promise me you aren't about to give me mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. We laughed about that for years. And another thing about Joe Buck. Joe, I think, was probably an intern at about that time. I'll let you know how old I was. And he managed to somehow take my parking space in that garage because he was apparently running late as an intern. And I came running in late, and I see this car. It was not exactly something that was – it was not a luxury car by any chance. And so I went upstairs, and I got – okay, I was a juvenile. I'm sorry. I was bad. I got lots of scraps of paper, and I wrote, you idiot, can't you read? This is my private spot. You know, all sorts, and I took scotch tape and I plastered his entire car with it. And he came up later and he said, Mr. Hunter? I said, yes. He said, that's my car parked in your space. I said, you and I. But anyway, we shook hands over that. But Jack, wherever we were, I was with Jack later on, he would say, Julius Hunter, nice guy, but never park in his parking spot.
I always think about, that's so funny. I always think about you all. Those days and being in that building, there were some big names in that building. I mean, my goodness.
Oh, yeah. We did have a whole slew of people come through Channel 4 television there. But, you know, I actually started television in St. Louis in 1970 on Channel 5 television. That was KSD-TV. But when you worked for KSD-TV, you also worked for KSD Radio. So I got a really good... a bit of training in 1970. I won't ask you where you were in 1970. Dare I? No.
I was born in 75.
Oh, thank you. I always get you young people reminding me of how old I am. Yeah, but there were a lot of people through there that I interviewed over the years. Gregory Peck, I was remembering, and I did some funny stuff with Chuck Berry. My first interview ever as a celebrity interview was with Pearl Bailey out at the Muni, and it was a hot August day. She was out there, and I'm a young kid, one of my first interviews, and I go running out with my crew, and I'm in a three-piece suit. It's August. It's the Muni. It's St. Louis. And when I approached Pearl Bailey, she said, well, looky, what do we have here? I mean, is this little Lord Fauntleroy, or who are you, honey? And I said, I'm Julius Hunter from, she says, yeah, that doesn't impress me. She said, I tell you what, why are you dressed like that? Three-piece suit, summer, St. Louis, August. She said, well, I'm not going to talk to you until you take off some of them clothes. And so I took off my jacket and handed it to my photographer. I then took off my vest. Who wears a vest in August in St. Louis? Took the vest off. She said, all right, the tie's next. And I took off my tie, and then I said, you're going to let me keep my shirt on, aren't you? You know, so, and she did.
You did so much through the years, and we're going to talk about growing up and listening to baseball on the radio, because we talked about Jack Buck, but you heard Harry Carey early on. But let me ask you about being an anchor, being a personality in St. Louis, and growing up here and loving this. What was it about St. Louis that kept you here and keeps you here today?
I don't do well in the really, really big cities, many of which I've visited. And I like the sort of the slower pace in St. Louis. I mean, it's getting to be a much faster paced place these days than when I grew up. I was born. All right, you have violin music here. You have any accompaniment?
I'm sure we can come up with it.
Okay, come on. Yeah. I'll start the story and you kind of follow me later.
Okay.
I was born upstairs over a storefront barbershop at Vanderventer between Enright and Del Mar. And there was a wonderful sort of situation of neighborhood there. The school that I went to, Cole Elementary School, was half a block away. Fire station, half a block away. Roscoe McCrary's original barbecue place was across the street from me. And I don't think anybody would believe that directly across the street from where I was born, there was a fortune teller, Professor Verdure, and he would tell people's fortunes, I think, for like 50 cents. But I was a little kid, like 6 or 7 years old when I first found him, and he would read my little palm. And I think he said, "You'll never amount to anything." So, all right, that's that story. But also at Cole Elementary School, I was remembering the other day that a superstar came out of Cole Elementary School and the softball league there, and that was Nate Colbert. Nate, it's morning for me. Nate Colbert, and that guy, those big old fat softballs, he could hit that sucker out of the park back then.
Big slugger.
Yeah, big slugger. And his sister, Shirley, I don't know whether Shirley's still around, but Shirley could hit the ball just as far as he could. But that was one of the guys I remember from the old schoolyard.
No, just those days of growing up in St. Louis and Cardinal baseball being part of the culture, and it is here today. I also want to ask you about why you were honored last night for your Lifetime Achievement Award and your pride in that. We're going to get into that as well and talk some sports and some baseball as well with Julius Hunter, a big part of our St. Louis scene, without a doubt. Sports on a Sunday morning on KMOX, having some fun. You know, a couple weeks ago, we had the chief of police, Robert Tracy. You got to visit with him and right. hear about his life and some of the things that he thinks about our city. And now we get to visit with Julius Hunter, the legendary anchor and television personality here in St. Louis, honored last night at the ballpark. Great to see him at Busch Stadium, and now good to see him here in the studios of KMOX. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back more with Julius. John Mozeliak at 11:30, and at 11:45, it's Mizzou coach Eli Drinkwitz. I'm Tom Ackerman. This is Sports on a Sunday Morning on KMOX. It was a bucket list item for Julius Hunter, and last night, it happened.
This copyrighted broadcast is presented by Authority of the St. Louis Cardinals, LLC, and may not be reproduced or retransmitted in any form. And the accounts and descriptions of the game may not be disseminated without the express written consent of the St. Louis Cardinals. Brought to you by Brown and Crouppen, a great law firm.
That is so well done.
Oh, God, I got it. I don't know why I always wanted to do that. I just always, out of all of the things that I've done, and as I said, I have had a wonderful career, which included speaking personally to 7 U.S. presidents and with a whole host of other people. I won't even try to remember everybody that I interviewed, but baseball and growing up in St. Louis. I was born, as I said, upstairs over a storefront barbershop between Enright and Del Mar on Vandeventer. And now here's some math for you to do, Tom. I was 2 years old when Harry Carey did his first Cardinal broadcast. And that was a community event, baseball games. Every one of the neighbors on the block would put their radios out in the backyard and turn the radios up full blast for the ball games, and there would be picnicking out there. I mean, there would be barbecuing and corn on the cob and stuff on the roast. And we would always say that no matter what the Cardinals played, what kind of game they played on the field, Harry Carey played a good game in the booth. And it was a fun time for everybody to listen to Cardinal baseball. And what's beyond quadrasonic sound, pentasonic, I mean, what do you go up the scale?
Yeah, sure.
The number of radios out in the backyard turned up full blast.
Wow. What was he like to listen to?
Harry Carey was a wild guy. I mean, I did not know the sanctity of the cow until Harry Carey started talking to us about the holy cow. And it is a home run. I mean, that taught me possibilities.
And Jack Buck was different.
Jack Buck was very different when he first started. I remember his first television game that he broadcast. And he said at one point, and Jack was very wry, he said, "I hear we're getting calls from people who are upset with the fact that I'm not doing more of this play-by-play thing." He said, "This is television. You can see it, can't you?" Can you believe he would dare say that? Good old Jack.
Absolutely. You threw out the first pitch last night before the Cardinals beat the Guardians 6-5. Great to be back in the ballpark. I know Julius Hunter is with us in studio. You did that because you were honored with, at the Landmarks Association Gala, an award for lifetime achievement, your contributions to preserving St. Louis's historic architecture and culture. That's one of the things about our city that perhaps doesn't get overlooked by visitors. They notice it, but maybe we take it for granted.
Right.
When you take a look around our city, the incredible preservation that is in place and in some areas,
right,
it is remarkable, the look back at what we are.
Right, and I might call on everybody to come and form a hugging loop around the Wainwright Building. I think it's going to be all right, but I would encourage your listeners, Tom, to link up with Landmarks Association, doing great stuff in the city of finding creative reuse of buildings and saving our historic architecture in St. Louis and our culture. We have probably the best brick field in the entire country, number of types of bricks. And one time there were 40, at the turn of the century, 1900 or thereabouts, there were like 44 brick manufacturing companies in St. Louis. And the brick stock is just beautiful. Look at all the natural coloration of bricks in the buildings in St. Louis. And please don't paint any more buildings, ladies and gentlemen. Please don't do that, or I'll have to read that disclaimer statement again. So,
what do you see for St. Louis? What can make us great?
I think we already are great. And one of the first things I told a group the other night at Landmarks, that one of, I hope, my first contributions to St. Louis was to get the writers at KSD and KSD-TV to stop calling our airport Lambert Field. Do you know how long that went on when we were Lambert International? So writers at Channel 5 and at Channel 4 really got blasted. I would say, this is not, does that look like Lambert Field to you? So I also did as much work as I could to help the new writers coming to town to mispronounce and pronounce the names of our cities, our streets and buildings and all. For example, we have Gravois. No, it's Gravois, ladies and gentlemen, of course. And that was, the road to the city dump back in the day. But don't try to say de Bolivier. It's de Bolivar, doggone it. You know, and for the German students who see G-O-E-T-H-E, it is not Goethe. It's Goethe.
You know, as someone who admired you growing up, watching you in my kitchen, like many people did at dinner time.
You were watching me in the kitchen.
I was watching you at dinner, you know, anchoring the news. To be able to spend time with you and call you a friend is very special. And you know, I think that you bring our city a class, sophistication.
Thank you.
Professionalism. And okay. I'm so glad that you are in it. And I'm glad that you're here.
I will go no place else. Maybe no place else would have me at this point in life. But this is my city. I love St. Louis. And I hope that all of your listeners will do all that they can to talk up our city as we go around. When I go to the East Coast, and they say, oh, yeah, you got that arc down in St. Louis. Yeah, right. It's the arch, 630 feet above the ground.
Reminding us to be proud, to think big, that St. Louis is great. And Julius
great
Hunter
city.
With us in studio. It was great to have you at the ballpark last night. Great to have you here, and we'll make this a habit. We'll see if we can't stay in contact and keep something going. Nice Cardinals cap, by the way.
Oh, yeah. I have a complete Cardinal outfit that I wore on the field last night. They had me mixed up for Fred Bird at one point.
Yeah. You got the Hunter jersey?
Yes.
Good.
I've got them. I've got everything.
You got it all. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you for having me, and I hope you'll have me back.
Absolutely. Julius Hunter.
Could be the Tom and Julie show.
We could. We could do it right here on KMOX's Sports on a Sunday Morning. Coming up next, John Mozeliak, Cardinals President of Baseball Operations, and then Eli Drinkwitz, the head coach of the Missouri Tigers. Oof, they...
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
It's one out last night against Vanderbilt. It's all next on KMOX.
Smith swings and he hits a drive. He hits a slammer.
Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
Milliken's win! Milliken's win!
Once again, from the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, Tom Ackerman.
Well, it was nice to reminisce with Julius Hunter for the last couple of segments. A good look back at Cardinals history through his eyes. Joining us right now, Cardinals President of Baseball Operations, John Mozeliak. Good morning, Mo.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing well. Julius threw out the first pitch last night. He had the Super Bowl champion Rams there. A couple of reasons why last night was fun and festive, as well as the Cardinals playing well. It was a fun game last night. It had a big crowd. It was energetic. And the young guys came through. That was a fun night, wasn't it, at the ballpark Saturday?
It was. Got a little too stressful at the end for me, but I suppose that's been our year, really. You think you're at, you have a 6-1 lead, you feel like pretty comfortable, and then bam, 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 and happened quick, and it became a lot tighter than I thought it needed to be, but glad to come out on top of it, and hopefully we can have a little bit of a repeat today, but with a little less stress.
Yeah, I know it's been a tough year, stressful games. The bullpen has been stressed, but boy, have they come through. If there's one thing you could walk away from this year and hold your head up, it is that the bullpen not only performed well, but I think was managed well. And I don't know what the future holds, if you can keep them all together, but that's certainly, for the most part, seems like a good mix you have going.
Yeah, it definitely was one of our strengths. I mean, I think our rotation kept us in baseball games as well this year. I mean, like the biggest thing we didn't do this year was offense. I mean, we just were not consistent enough, and we didn't put up enough runs. And I think that ended up really being our Achilles when you look back at this season. So a lot's going to go into how we think about our future and what that looks like. But, we got a week left of baseball, and, hopefully we end on a positive.
And you have those final games here, these final 7 games, to look at what some of that future could look like. You've now created a pathway for Jordan Walker. You saw what Ivan Herrera did last night. There are some players giving you an opportunity. It's an interesting balance that you'll have to have moving forward, because still want some star power, middle of the order. Star power really can carry a team. At the same time, you need to let these players develop. It's an interesting situation you found yourself in.
Yeah, it is. And I think that's something over the next, 4 to 6 weeks, we're going to take a lot of time and try to get a better idea of really what we want to look like and what our expectations are from this group. And, ultimately, as we prepare for spring training of 2025, a lot of work, but certainly looking forward to how the next 4 to 6 weeks really will transpire.
And when it comes to that rotation, I know those decisions are to be made here. You have some contracts to consider and all of that. You also have some players coming. I'm sorry to hear about Sonny Gray, although that's probably the best decision there, and it opens a door for Michael McGreevy. What do you think of McGreevy? I know you had high hopes for him early, and here he is. He's come through a couple times.
Yeah, I think for people that don't follow his career and are kind of wondering like really where he's at, you know, I think when we went into the 2023 season, we were hoping that we'd see that big step forward. But it took a year, and we really did see it this year. And, you know, you think back to that start against Texas he had, it was outstanding. And then when he went back down to Memphis, he just kept pitching well. And so super encouraged about where he's at. And, you know, I'd be shocked if he's not contributing in some form on our team next year, just based on how he's pitched.
Palante certainly seems like he's got a hold on a possible spot here as he goes today. Is there anyone else that really jumps out at you when it comes to pitching? I mean, obviously you've got a really good young one flying through the minor leagues right now. It's hard to put too much on him, but how do you see your pipeline right now in the minor leagues?
Yeah, I definitely feel like, you know, Quinn Matthews is not a household name for Cardinal fans yet, but probably will be this time next year. I feel like we have some pitching emerging. You know, obviously, like if you think back to the name we probably would have been bantering about 6 months or a year ago, might have been Tink Hentz. And obviously he did not have that season that we were hoping for. There's going to be a plan for what he needs to do this offseason. So I do think, you know, he is somebody that will be in consideration at some point next year in 2025. But, you know, just speaking real quickly on Quinn, just how well he just, you know, dominated as he moved through each level of the minor leagues. So, you know, everybody that got to see him pitch this year is just like uber excited about what he's capable of doing. And, you know, obviously, like anybody, there's growing pains when you get to the big leagues. But just based on how quickly he adapted to each level, I think he's someone that is going to make a nice transition to the major leagues when he gets that opportunity.
You made it very clear to me a couple of weeks ago on this show, draft and develop. You have to do it. You have to do it if you're going to be successful. And certainly that's an example of someone. I know that this is an overhaul, if I may use the word, or change that's going to happen. You do have already announced the retirement of Gary LaRock. I know how much you respect him, but that has created an opportunity. You told me that interviews are going to get underway here, that some things are going to start taking place in the next few weeks.
Yeah, it'll be a busy month of October as we look to really reset our front office. And obviously you mentioned Gary LaRock, a dear friend of mine, was a tremendous asset to this franchise and really did a lot for us, especially in a time of need. And, I look forward to still working with him, but just in a different capacity. And, he really was a special person and loved the game of baseball.
You've been very candid about yourself, that your contract expires in 2025, that you alluded to a succession plan a while back that was going to take place. I know there's been an ongoing process. I respect the process. So I know that when the time comes to make a public announcement as to what that is looking like, you'll tell us. Is there anything that you can reveal about how that has been going?
Not really. I think at some point this offseason we'll definitely sit down with everybody and sort of lay out what that all looks like. But in the meantime, I think the focus is the next 7 days. And then at some point we'll turn the page and then really focus on 2025 and beyond.
And, you know, we've talked a lot about crowds and about perception and about optics and what this fan base thinks and how you're trying to turn this thing around. Is that also talked about, how you are going to not only do things from a business standpoint, but present to your fan base and communicate with them what you are doing? Does that make a big difference to you? Do you want them to feel like they are part of this as well? Is that important?
Yeah, I think transparency in this particular realm is important. We're certainly grateful for the support we've had over the last 29 seasons under the DeWitt ownership, and we don't take that for granted. And so as we move forward, that'll definitely be something that is part of our plan or something we plan to share with everyone.
When I talk to Ollie, he sounds energetic when he talks about these young players. Have you noticed that? What has he been like here as this playoff contention has fallen out, but he continues to move this team to the finish line here? How do you evaluate Ollie?
I'm obviously an advocate for Ollie, so I think he does a really good job. I think this is a tough year. I don't think anybody, probably including Las Vegas, thought our offense was going to be how it was. So, that's a tough one. So, but to still navigate to where we are, I think he's done a nice job. I mean, obviously we've had our fair share of injuries, not that other teams don't, but I think when you look at really where we are, there's a story to be told. But from a managerial standpoint, I thought he did a really nice job.
John Mozeliak, thanks as always for spending time with us. We appreciate it. We'll do this again when we can next week. And, of course, you got a ball game today. We look forward to it, 1:15. Thanks as always.
All right. Thank you, Tommy.
John Mozeliak, Cardinals President of Baseball Operations, with us on KMOX. We will get to Eli Drinkwitz. He is the head coach of the Missouri Tigers, and he's going to be calling in 1 minute. And then we will check in with him after the commercial break to talk about what happened yesterday at Faurot Field. They're 4-0, but they had to squeak them out, those last two. Back after this on KMOX. Welcome back to the show. Cardinal baseball coming your way. 12:20 pregame. I'll have that. 1:15 first pitch. Tell you what, I was sweating it out yesterday in that Cardinals broadcast studio downstairs watching the Mizzou game. 30-27, they beat Vanderbilt in double overtime. The head coach is Eli Drinkwitz. Good morning, Coach. Great to have you back on KMOX.
Good morning, Tom. How are you, man?
Doing great. I was, I'll tell you, that was something. I was watching this game go back and forth and back and forth.
Yeah.
You come out of it 4-0, but I thought you put it really well because I stayed around for your post-game on-field interview, and they said, what'd you learn about today? And you said, we have a long way to go.
Well, yeah, I mean, here's the deal, man. I feel like you remember on the movie Gladiator when he yells, "Are you not entertained?" You know, and just trying to keep the entertainment value high for all the fans. It's like a Buffalo Wild Wings commercial, just trying to keep that thing going for a while. But look, at the end of the day, we're a group of guys, a group of team that's really tough, really resilient, found a way to win. It's not about how you win. It's about that you do win. And there's a lot of things that we want to do better as a football team, and we can do better, starting with me as coaching. I made some really poor coaching decisions. But you win and learn. And so that's what we're going to do today and the better part of this week. We're going to find a way to continue to improve. But, man, I'm super proud of this team, and I want everybody to understand I'm super proud of our football team. To find a way to win last week and this week, there's a lot of teams that didn't win last week, last night. In fact, there was over half of them. So, it's a good deal for us to be on that right side of it.
Yeah, and the bye week comes at the right time, and you can get healthy and reset and try to figure out how to beat Texas A&M. And you just talked about a coaching decision. I won't harp on it because you already said it after the game yesterday. It was on you, what happened right before halftime, and Vanderbilt was able to keep that thing close. And just, the inability, I guess, to close the door on some of those drives probably eats at you a little bit. As talented as your team is, and give Vanderbilt some credit. I mean, they're an SEC team. They're on scholarship, too. But you know what the explosive potential of your team is, I would imagine.
Yeah, I mean, we here's the deal, man. We had a lot of people that expect and have expectations of what we should be as a team. At the end of the day, we are who we are. And right now, we're not as explosive as we need to be. We have some elite players. We've got to get them the ball, and we got to execute at a higher level. We're 4-0, and we'll continue to work to improve this week. But, I think sometimes we have in this mindset that we just expect that we're going to go out there, and because the other team has a certain jersey on, that the outcome's going to be a certain way, man. They have a say in the fight, too. They're on scholarship. They're on scholarship in the SEC. They're really good football players. And there's a lot of those guys that had something to prove. They had a chip on their shoulder, and they did it. That quarterback's a really tough, moxie player. So kudos to them for being in the fight, but kudos to us for winning the game.
Those are two really slick quarterbacks I thought you faced back-to-back. BC was tough. Bill O'Brien's
got
them.
Wait till you see the next ones we're going to face. I mean, crud, that's what you get into, man. In college football, they got elite quarterbacks, and it's an elite skill set because most of them have a really good ability to create with their feet, as well as get ball to the playmakers in space. So it puts your defense in a really difficult position. You know, the first half, we made a couple of fundamental technique errors with our footwork that allowed him to get on the edge to create explosive plays. And in the second half, and in that overtime first drive, we couldn't tackle him. And so, you know, that's going to be something we have to fix because the young man who's taking over the quarterback job at Texas A&M is explosive, very fast. And that's the name of the game moving forward. I think you can look at our schedule and say, there's a lot of really fast, explosive quarterbacks. I mean, South Carolina's quarterback came in. He looked unbelievable last night watching the highlights. So everybody's got good quarterbacks. We got to continue to improve.
Yeah, you're right. Arkansas has got a good one, no doubt. Oh, what about your quarterback? Did he come out of that okay? Is he healthy? I know he's a little down on how he performed.
Yeah, you know what? Brady's got to quit taking the weight of the world and the weight of the fans on his shoulders. I mean, the dude didn't turn the ball over. I watched a lot of football last night where a bunch of quarterbacks turned the ball over and cost their teams opportunities to win, and ours did not. And in clutch situations, he delivered for our football team. And I'm really proud of him. He's 100% healthy, so everybody can take that narrative off of social media. He's 100% healthy. He played a consistent game last night, and we're going to work to improve around him. But at the end of the day, he did exactly what he needed to do to get his team a win. And again, it's easy to point fingers at the quarterback when things don't go the way people expect it. At the end of the day, point the fingers at me. I'm the head football coach. It's my responsibility. But I struggled with his answer last night because that, you know, he's trying to measure up to some outside noise and expectations. Man, he's playing good football and hadn't turned the ball over in a couple of games, which ultimately gave us the chance to win both of those games. So I'm super proud of him, and the best is yet to come.
And finally, I can't let you go without the big news that came across in Kansas City, the approval of the improvements to Memorial Stadium and Faurot Field. I know that's something you've been working on for a while.
Yeah, I mean, I think our fans have really been the difference for us in the last four games, and specifically last night. The environment, the atmosphere that they've created at Faurot Field has been electric and special to the coaches, to the players, to the recruits, and for our board and to continue to invest in our program, to continue to create an atmosphere that's going to be really second to none in the country. I'm super excited about and appreciate their commitment to us and for us and just so appreciative of being at the University of Missouri and our fan base because they've been on this journey with us. And I just ask that they continue just to be supportive. I know everybody's got high expectations because of our rankings, but we'll get there. But every day is a little bit of a difficult challenge and we just need everybody pushing in the same direction. And it's not always going to be a beauty pageant. It's going to be about getting the wins. And so appreciate the fans, but really want them to continue just to be believe and be supportive as this team continues to try to develop its own identity and be the best version of itself so that it can be.
Great to hear you on KMOX again. Hope to catch up soon. Appreciate it, Coach.
Thanks, Tom. See you, buddy. MIZ.
ZOU from Eli Drinkwitz on KMOX.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.